suggestions, anyone? You may have at one time or another given feedback, but how are you at taking it? Well, we had a conversation about best practices with Sheila Heen. She spent the last 20 years with the Harvard Negotiation Project and co-authored a couple of books. One is called Difficult Conversations: How to Discuss What Matters Most. Another is Thanks for the Feedback: The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well, Even When It's Off Base, Unfair, Poorly Delivered, and Frankly, You're Not in the Mood.
Well, so one of the things I think that I've learned over the last couple of decades is that organizations and people, human beings, all over the world really struggle with feedback conversations. And so that's one of the most common things I hear from my clients they're struggling with is, how do I help my people have more honest feedback conversations, particularly in polite cultures where we don't want to hurt each other's feelings, we don't want to upset anyone. So there is so much that's left unsaid.
And then I know here in Hawaii, the Asian culture doesn't like to be direct.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think that one of the mistakes that we made for many, many years, and this is what I see everyone do, is in an effort to address that, we coach people on how to give feedback more clearly and, you know, more honestly and more often. And there's a lot you can learn about that, but what we noticed over time is that wasn't actually helping. It wasn't solving the problem. And one day it suddenly occurred to us, well, hold on. In any exchange of feedback between a giver and a receiver, it's actually the receiver who's in charge. It's the receiver who's deciding what they're going to let in and what sense they're going to make of it, particularly when it's indirect, like, what are you trying to tell me? And whether and how they choose to change. And maybe what we should be doing is trying to understand what is so hard for all of us about receiving feedback, formal and informal, direct and indirect, right, in our personal lives as well as in our professional lives.
Now, there was a time when you would see, like, suggestion box, you know, at the front desk, and
yes,
you can slip something in there anonymously, but then it's like, okay, well, how does that get addressed, right?
Absolutely, and that's one of the really interesting things going on in organizations, which is that as you become more senior in any organization, you and your behavior and your style and actions are having a bigger and bigger impact on everybody else, while fewer and fewer people are willing to give you feedback about it because they don't want to jeopardize their relationship with you. So suggestion boxes or anonymous feedback is an effort to try to invite people to be more honest. And I actually think they don't work as well as they should. But what does work is the fastest way to change a feedback culture is for the leaders in that organization to actually become better receivers of feedback.
Now, there are some organizations that have you go up the chain. You know, you
yes,
go through your direct supervisor, and then they'll kind of work it up that way.
Yeah, you can do that. The problem is that when things come up the chain, or when people respond to anonymous surveys, right, about culture or climate or engagement, part of what's hard is that what the senior leaders get is a collection of very vague, general feedback that's really hard for them to understand. When richer feedback conversations happen, when I can ask you, help me understand what you mean by that. You say that the leadership should be more responsive. What does that mean to you? What is it that you want us to do differently? And those richer conversations happen if I, as a leader, get good at actually going out and asking for it in a way that persuades people that I want it. So one of the things that we suggest is that leaders ask for one thing. Just informally, here and there, it doesn't have to be a big meeting. It can be walking down the hall after a meeting, but to ask, hey, what's one thing that if I changed it, you think would make that last meeting we had more effective? Or what's one thing you see me doing, or maybe it's something I'm failing to do that might be getting in my way? And if leaders can start to ask those kinds of questions of the people around them, they're not only modeling how to do it, but they're also saying, I value learning. I need your help to lead as well as I can. And by the way, this is what I also expect of you, that you should be always seeking feedback, seeking ways that you can get better.
Well, we often hear, you know, you have to be a good listener.
Yes. You do have to be a good listener. And the challenge when you're on the receiving end of everybody else's little suggestions for how we should change from our children and our teenagers and our mother-in-law and our friends, as well as our colleagues, is that as human beings, when I'm receiving feedback, I tend to have three kinds of triggered reactions to that feedback. The first is what we call truth triggers. Like, is that true or is it not? Is it good advice or bad advice? Would it work? Do you really understand the whole situation? So I'm assessing the quality of the feedback itself. The second is what we call a relationship trigger, which is all about who is giving me the feedback. Because all feedback lives in the relationship between giver and receiver. So I can have a bigger reaction to the who. Like, I don't even like you. Why would I want to be like you, right? Or you're worse at this than I am. Than I do to the what. So that someone else could say exactly the same thing and I would hear it differently. And the last kind of trigger is what we call an identity trigger, which has to do with how sensitive I am to feedback and the story I tell about who I am and what this feedback means about me. Am I a bad person? Am I incompetent? In the course of our research, we found that individual sensitivity to feedback, meaning how upset you get and how long it takes you to recover, can vary by up to 3,000%. And now we're all in families together and teams together trying to offer each other feedback with really different profiles.
Now, some folks learn better, let's say, with visual cues and,
yes,
you know, there are short-term fixes versus long-term fixes.
Yes.
You know, so how do you decipher, okay, if I want this to happen, I have to figure out what's the best strategy?
Yeah, and I think that as leaders, we think I'm supposed to be able to divine somehow how you want to get the feedback and what your profile is so that I can figure out how to do it perfectly. And I would actually reverse that and say, what I need to be good at as a leader is asking you, look, when I do have some coaching for you, talk to me. Like, what helps you? What are your pet peeves about feedback? What are you particularly sensitive about? If I have some suggestions, what's useful to you? When do you want me to give them to you and how? Some people will say, look, interrupt me, give them to me right away, because I'll be annoyed if you wait till later. And other people say, actually, don't interrupt me in the middle, because I'm going to be so upset by what you said, I need you to actually give me time and give me time to critique myself first. And other people will say, just have something I can do. Like, I'm hip for feedback, but I need to know, how do I action it? I need you to coach me on how to coach you. How's that for confusing?
Okay, so if I have a suggestion to make, then should I come prepared with a solution?
Yeah, so some people will tell you, come with a solution. I'm more receptive to solutions. Other people will say, don't give me the solution. Let me figure out what the answer is, but flag for me what the problem is that you think I maybe don't see, for instance. And so I really think that receiving feedback is a distinct leadership skill that if you get good at it, you can actually take charge of and drive your own learning, and you don't have to wait around for the perfect mentor or giver to show up in your life. Now, I don't know about you, whether you feel like you tend to be on the more sensitive side when you get feedback or whether you're relatively even keel about feedback.
Oh, okay. What's the difference then?
So it's not better or worse to be one or the other. But they just have different challenges. So some people would say, actually, I'm pretty even keel. I'm not that sensitive. And so I find it annoying when people are indirect with me, or else I don't even get that they're giving me feedback, right? Someone says, you know, Catherine does it this way. I'm like, well, good for Catherine. Like, why do I care? So I might say, look, I need you, if you have something, be direct. I will not be upset by that. I will find that helpful. Other people, well, so my co-author, Doug, tends to be very sensitive about feedback, and I'm probably on the more even keel end, so we were a good pair to write the book, Thanks for the Feedback. But Doug would say, if you're not sure if you're highly sensitive, then you're not, because people who are highly sensitive to feedback know it. Like, even a suggestion that you wished I had done something differently gets supersized in his mind. One thing becomes everything. Suddenly he's never done anything right in his life. If that's your profile, you just have different challenges.
Right. So if somebody you think will be they're thinking that you're being hypercritical of them.
Hypercritical, right? Of them. And then other people will say things to you like, you know, you just need to not take things personally. You got to get a thicker skin. Chill out. Right. Which is actually not helpful if you are someone who is just naturally sensitive. What is helpful is to learn some strategies to dismantle the distortions that can happen where I'm supersizing it. It's not one thing, one mistake I made. It's every mistake I've ever made in my life. It's like I'm laying in bed mentally Googling everything that's wrong with me, and I'm overwhelmed with all of the mistakes I've ever made. And that's tripped by one comment, by one person. And that's not a place in which you can learn. you have to figure out, how do I contain the feedback to really see it at actual size? Okay, this is about one thing that maybe I could work on. That's something for me to learn. It's not about whether I'm a good person. It's not about whether I'm competent in all these other ways. I'm a good parent or a good sibling or a good coworker. So that you can actually help keep it in proportion.
So is the workplace then, is the culture changing? They have open concept offices and,
yes,
you know, that it's inviting a different kind of climate. So are we seeing a change?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say that culturally we're just as hesitant. If the culture in your organization, or you were mentioning in Hawaii, in that we're very careful and considerate of each other and we don't want to hurt each other's feelings, so we might be very indirect or hold things back. Or you might be in an organization that's like hard driving, tell it like it is, no filter feedback. I don't see that changing over time so easily. What I do see changing is that social media is changing things. So in our real relationships, I think we're just as concerned with the things that we're concerned about. But social media somehow helps us forget, or maybe makes us forget, I don't really mean helps, makes us forget that there are real people on the other side of this. And so we're attacking, venting, accusing, etc. And we're not really thinking that we're in relationship with this person that we are attacking.
That you're removed. It removes you somehow from
it
that,
It removes
huh?
you, and that makes it really hard to be on the receiving end. You know, you as a public person, you probably get that sometimes. People react to the show and they say things on social media that if they were sitting here in a room with you, they wouldn't say to your face, because they would actually see you as a full human being.
So the advice there is then what? Be careful before you hit the button.
Be careful before you hit the button. Remember, if you intend this for the person themselves, then treat them the way that you would want to be treated. If it's because you want to comment on some broader social issue or vent some frustration that you've had related to the issue, be clearer about that. Like, I'm not really talking about how it was handled on this radio show. Here's what I find frustrating in other ways, so that you're thoughtful. And then the question is on the receiving end when you're being attacked. How do you hold it so that you can take into account that a lot of this is driven by people's frustration or unhappiness or pain about themselves? It's not really aimed at you or about who you really are. So listen for what might be right about it, that you might learn from it. But getting good at receiving feedback doesn't mean you always take the feedback. It means you get good at sorting. Here's what's wrong with it, but here's what might be right about it that I really should hold on to. And you'll always be able to find something wrong with the feedback you get, no matter what. But there's usually something right about it. Even if it's just 90% is wrong, but 10% is something, I wouldn't do it quite that way, but maybe they're telling me something is a bigger issue than I thought it was, and I want to give that some thought.
So it's really being receptive then.
It's being receptive and being willing to stay in the triggered reaction. We'll loop back to your comment about listening. Part of what's hard is that as a receiver, I know I should listen to you, but I'm managing my own triggered reactions to your feedback and getting better at just recognizing those triggered reactions and staying in it to understand what you're trying to tell me and to listen for what might be right or legitimate about it.
Sheila Heen is on Oahu speaking to local businesses about the importance of building healthy feedback cultures at work. She gave a keynote speech this morning as part of the growth series put on by ProService Hawaii. Heen will also be talking with the Omidyar Fellows on the Big Island later this week. And she also gave a TED Talk on the issue of feedback, which you can find online.